Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We're talking with Kevin Freeman, author of Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack, founder of GlobalEconomicWarfare.com, as well as a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy. Now, Kevin, the theme of today's show has kind of been the jousting Trump has been doing with the tyrants of the world, with the other major powers, the minor powers, the crazies, ISIS, all of it. And there is plenty going on, and he seems to have reasserted, if not U.S. dominance, at least U.S. power. But we also have some very significant issues economically that we have to take as seriously as the military or national security aspects of these interactions. And, you know, President Trump now has kind of changed his tune on whether or not China is a currency manipulator and threat. How do you think the economic aspect of this plays into our relations with, say, China and Russia and the other big actors?
Well, thanks, Jim. Basically, President Trump has taken the global geostrategic framework and filtered it through the art of the deal. He's taken his book and he is essentially, I'll call you a currency manipulator if that moves you in the direction, or I'll say you're not one if that moves you the direction where I get you to achieve my objective. And he's playing that kind of art of the deal politics on the global stage, and he's apparently doing it very successfully, at least initially. We're seeing some positive movement from the Chinese and the Russians. You know, China and Russia are dependent on a successful global economy, and he knows that, and that gives him an enormous leverage to use with them.
So it seems that a lot of folks, and especially, you know, the Trump enemies, whether they're the never Trumpers or the entire institutional resistance left, seem to freak out every time he says something, which in some cases could be outrageous. But like you said, he uses hyperbolic rhetoric to achieve an aim. It's not that the literal words of a Trump tweet or a Trump statement are gospel and now the policy of the United States and will be followed to the letter. He's pushing somebody's button to get a reaction to move them, as you said, where he wants. And if that's working, then good on him, right?
Oh, I think so. It's, you know, it's the advantage of having a highly successful business person that gets deals done in the White House. Sometimes the decorum and so forth, just out of politeness, the United States has taken a back position. I remember President Obama bowing everywhere he went, taking a back position, and President Trump is doing what the basket of deplorables wanted him to do, and that's stand up for America first.
So now he had the Chinese president here, and obviously, you know, currency was the main thing. Given the primacy of economy for both us and them, is there a way to push at least some sort of peaceful coexistence forward where they're no longer acting in a predatory way and we can actually, you know, potentially be trading partners without being enemies?
Well, that's certainly a hope. I mean, in 1999, two senior colonels of the People's Liberation Army wrote a book titled Unrestricted Warfare, where they talked about economic warfare to bring down the United States and to advantage China. That only works if we're unaware of the game. And they've been effectively using those techniques for the past, well, since 1999, 18 years against us, and we've acted ignorant that was taking place. President Trump is saying, no, we're aware that you do these things, and we're willing to win this battle if we have to. And at that point, if you can't do it in the shadows, you can't do it. And so the Chinese have to back down, and their only hope for growing their economy is to be a good player on the global stage, to cooperate with the United States, to stop stealing intellectual property, to stop hacking everything that moves. So these are the kind of things that you have to expose this behavior, and you have to say that it has repercussions if you engage in it. And I think that's what President Trump's trying to get across. And he's now recognizing some of the complexities that China faces on their currency. They've actually been trying to strengthen their currency, and that's probably what was shown to the president. As look, we've made efforts because the yuan has strengthened against the dollar since the election and not weakened like most other currencies.
So now, a part of this again is the idea that the Chinese have an interest in their economy not crashing. And I mean, is it another piece of the puzzle that Trump obviously understands that a lot of, because he's a developer, they built entire cities in China that are empty. You know, a lot of the development, a lot of the growth that fueled the rise of China to its current perch was hollow in many ways. You know, is he pointing out that he understands that as well as what they're doing to us and says, don't make me push back too hard and collapse your house of cards?
He should be. They do have a house of cards. What we have in China are different groups that are vying for power. The People's Liberation Army, which is belligerent, they cannot be allowed to have power. Unfortunately, they own a lot of the businesses that we end up supporting. The Communist Party, which is just afraid of losing their heads in some kind of revolt or revolution, and then the business community. And that's the one that we can partner with, and that's the one that President Trump is going to reach out to and work with, is, you know, we can have a bright future together. Problem with the business community is they've also been infiltrated in part by the People's Liberation Army. So you've got to be very careful with whom you're dealing.
And I guess you probably have to make the assumption that they are all state organs in some way. I mean, there are individual pieces of the puzzle that are independent, but in the same way the Iranian Revolutionary Guard has businesses that they run, the People's Liberation Army has huge chunks of the Chinese economy that they use to consolidate their power base. Is there a way that Trump can do what you said, and even though it may advantage the People's Liberation Army in some way, try to pick and choose, you know, particular trading partners or people to work with who may be the least compromised?
I would hope so. And there are certainly some least compromised people that actually want to get in and profit, that their primary goal and motivation is to make money and to be a part of the global economy and so forth. There's a good segment in China that really believes that, but there is this nefarious other segment that's the PLA that's really trying for Chinese world domination, and that's a problem. It's something that very, very carefully you have to sort through that, and hopefully the president's getting good intelligence in that respect.
Well, let's take a quick look now to the other big dog, Russia. You know, obviously their economy has never taken off the way the Chinese has. Is the economic levers and incentives that he can use with China, are those also applicable in our relations with Russia?
With Russia, it all comes down to energy, at least at this point. Energy, energy, and energy. And the biggest lever that we have against Russia is developing our domestic energy capabilities and ensuring that we will no longer be held hostage by the Middle East, and that Europe does not have to be held hostage by the Russians for natural gas or for oil. And so that is the primary, most significant lever that we have. And it's the one that Putin fears the most.
So essentially, I mean, is it possible we might have resources? Obviously, we keep discovering more and more resources here in the United States. Could we become an exporter at some point?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, to export, then you have to get into, and particularly natural gas, you have to get into LNG, and there are a whole host of other issues associated with that. But the United States has an energy capability that is second to none. Our technology has allowed us to continue to develop. When we remove some of the onerous restrictions, regulations, federal land control, and so forth, we're an energy powerhouse.
Kevin Freeman, author of Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. Thanks for joining us. That's going to wrap up Secure Freedom Radio for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more ammunition for you in our war for the free world.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.